You know actor Rob Lowe from Parks and Recreation or Fox's all-too-short-lived The Grinder, or his new Fox game show called Mental Samurai. Certainly you remember Rob as Sam Seaborn on The West Wing, or maybe from Wayne's World. And if you've been around a long time, like me, you saw him back in the 80s in St. Elmo's Fire, or as a high school football star needing a heart transplant in a Hallmark Hall of Fame TV movie called Thursday's Child. Lowe, who grew up in Dayton, Ohio, brings his one-man show called Stories I Only Tell My Friends to the Aronoff Center this Saturday, June 1st. Well, Rob, welcome back to the Midwest, your old stomping grounds.
I know. I'm really, really, really excited to be coming home.
So what stories do you tell your friends? What's your one-man show like?
One of the things that I've learned as I've done this tour all across the country and even London and Europe is it's funny. And really, if I had the guts to say it, I would say it's more of a stand-up evening. I have been inspired by my friends Ricky Gervais and Aziz Ansari and David Spade and Dana Carvey. And I think the show is a really funny look and sometimes moving look at 40 years of a kid from Dayton, Ohio, making his way to Hollywood and everything that's happened along the way.
Do you show bloopers? What's the format?
There are some film clips. I have a big surprise thing I do in the middle of it, but it's mostly like a stand-up act. We have a big Q&A at the end, which ends up being the most fun for me, really. Some of the questions that I've been asked at various cities have been so funny and interesting, and the more off-the-beaten-path questions are, the better the show becomes.
So do you ever worry that they might ask you trivia questions to see if you really are a mental samurai?
I'm good at trivia. So they could get me with puzzles. The trivia, you got to get up awfully early in the morning to beat me.
So growing up in Dayton, was that your big dream to like be a TV game show host like Alex Trebek or Richard Dawson?
You know, what happened, the reason I ended up doing Mental Samurai is 4 decades in as an actor, there's less and less that's surprising to me, less and less that gets my adrenaline pumping. So it's no surprise that in these last few years, I've written books, I've created a one-man show, I've created a game show and is hosting it because it's new and exciting for me. And I've always been a fan of game shows. I was on the $10,000 pyramid when I was 15.
Wow, I didn't know that. So when you do your one-man show, what do you get the biggest reaction for? Is it Parks and Recreation or The Grinder, one of my personal favorites, or a classic like The West Wing?
I love that you mentioned The Grinder. I was just talking to the guys who created it last night about how much we missed it and how proud we are of that show.
It was almost like you were spoofing yourself, the big TV know-it-all, big star who comes back and thinks he knows it all, but in a different venue, like working for the family law firm.
Yeah, it was pretty great, particularly because law is kind of a family business. My dad is still practicing in Dayton. He's in his 53rd year of practicing. And my son, Matthew, is about to graduate from law school. So that was special. But the thing that's really fun, and every night I learn something new during the show, is that you never know what people are going to respond to. And I'm so lucky to have the kind of career where it could be Outsiders. It could be Brat Pack movies. It could be West Wing, Parks and Rec. It could be Behind the Candelabra. I mean, it's kind of a nice, diverse list.
When you were on the West Wing, and then, of course, there was two other cast members from Dayton as well, Allison Janney and Martin Sheen. I knew that you knew Sheen's sons, Charlie and Emilio Estevez. But did you know them in Dayton? And did you know Allison in Dayton? Or did you all meet in L.A.?
I think we were on season 4 of The West Wing. And Allison and I were just chatting. And we started putting together the pieces of the puzzle and realized I was in her high school auditorium when she made her acting debut. Miami Valley High School, I would have say 1974 or 5.
You know, I was looking over my old West Wing stories, and I met you on the NBC press tour in the summer of 99 before West Wing premiered, and you saw my name tag that said Cincinnati Inquirer, and instead of me asking you questions, you wanted to ask me a question. And my story says that you asked me, what's that new baseball stadium going to look like in Cincinnati? That's the only thing I care about. Because as a kid, you love coming to Riverfront Stadium in the 70s and watching the Big Red Machine.
By the way, I asked you that in 99, and I'm going to finally get the answer myself this trip.
So you're going to be able to catch a game at Great American?
I'm going to Great American. Bob Castellano, the owner, is a great man and very good friends with my brother. He has extended an invitation that I am taking, and I'm going to go to the game. I will have to leave probably at the fourth inning to go do my own show, but I cannot wait to finally see the Reds at the Great American Ballpark.
You would come down, what, with your dad or family to go to Riverfront to see Pete and Johnny and Joe Morgan and all?
Yeah, in fact, one of the great reasons I'm coming is I can't wait to see Marty Brenneman, you know, who I grew up adoring, and it's his last year as a broadcaster, and I want to kiss the ring. Joe Nuxall, Marty Brenneman, Riverfront Stadium.
Because you're doing a Saturday show here and Sunday in Dayton. Do you do a slightly different show, or is just the questions you get make it a different show?
The questions for sure make it a different show, and that in and of itself keeps it really fresh and different every night. I mean, particularly coming back to Dayton or a place where I have this kind of a history, the show will be very Ohio-centric. I've got to get to the bottom of the mystery of Uncle Al. I've been waiting for many years.
The mystery of Uncle Al?
Uncle Al and Captain Wendy. Yes, I need to know what was actually going on there.
Well, she could fly, you know that. And Uncle Al was better than Uncle Ori, if you're from Dayton.
Oh, yeah. I was always so envious that those kids got chosen to sit on Uncle Al's accordion.
And he told me that only happened a few times because one kid wet his pants and he had to, like, send out the accordion to be deconstructed and completely cleaned.
That's hilarious because in my memory, that was, like, the highest honor. And we have to do a little deep dive into Bob Braun. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff I'm going to be trotting out in Cincinnati that definitely would not play in any other city.
How long were you in Dayton, like, from when to when?
My dad graduated law school. I was born that year in Charlottesville, Virginia, so I was in Dayton from 6 months old to 12 years old.
We talked about Riverfront. Did you get down to a lot of Reds games?
Oh, so many games. There was some kind of fan day where you could get out on the field, and I collected warning track from Riverfront and had it in a vase for, like, years. I was a massive, massive Reds fan, and so George Foster hit an upper deck home run. Back in the days when upper deck home runs meant something, and they weren't hit every day like they are today. I incidentally saw a guy hit a ball out of Red Stadium yesterday, or 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times.
And, you know, Pete Rose and I became friendly. So I have huge, long-standing Red historical connections.
So is the Reds your favorite Cincinnati memory, or did you have other memories of being down here in town?
It was always about the Reds. It really was. And, of course, I've spent many a good evening at Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse. I'll probably be hitting that. And then, like I said, I really, really do want to see what this whole On the Rhine thing is about, because I hear my fellow Brat Packer, Emilio Estevez, is the de facto mayor of On the Rhine.
It's unbelievable. There's a stretch from downtown to the end of the lower basin and over the Rhine that was just used furniture shops and local taverns and not much else. That is all redone. There's this renaissance. It's a wonderful neighborhood now with great restaurants and great beers and great brew houses. He's in the right place. So I joked about it before, but back when you were in Dayton, what kind of dream did you have for an acting career? And did you exceed those expectations?
Oh, I wildly exceeded my expectations of what I thought I might be lucky to accomplish. I mean, my dream then was that I would go to New York City, because all of the actors that I knew who were professional who came to Ohio, those wonderful semi-pro summer stock productions, were all theater people out of New York. None of them were movie stars. None of them were television stars. And my hope would be I'd go to New York, beat the pavement, end up in plays, and maybe be on Broadway and appear in some movies and TV here and there, as most of them do in that fashion of the business. When I ended up in California, that really changed everything for me.
You say summer stock, you're talking Kenley Players?
Kenley Players, for sure. But also the Trotwood Circle Theater, the Fairborn Playhouse, Wright State University, Dayton Playhouse, Living Arts Center. You know, looking back at the amount of opportunity to be an actor in Dayton in that time, granted it wasn't the big leagues, I would say it would be single A ball. But, you know, you got to do stuff. When I came to California, you know, at 13, there was nothing to do except play in the big leagues, which is really disappointing when you're not in the big leagues yet.
But you hit it pretty good in, like, 79 or something. You were in an ABC sitcom with Eileen Brennan, right? A New Kind of Family?
That's right. Yep. At 15, I had my first TV series.
But what surprised me, because I didn't realize till I was going back looking this stuff up, before St. Elmo's Fire, you did a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie, Thursday's Child, and you were the football player, right? Needed a heart transplant?
The first thing I did was the biggest thing, which is The Outsiders. That was the big one.
But when you did Thursday's Child, you got a Golden Globe nomination. You weren't even 20 yet.
Yeah, you're right. Thursday's Child was my first Golden Globe nomination, and God bless the Golden Globes. They've been very supportive of me, although I don't have a great batting average. I think I've been nominated 6 times, but haven't won yet.
Well, you kind of hit the same thing with West Wing, because weren't you and like Sheen in the same category or something?
Yeah, we'll talk about awards. Martin Sheen never won an award for playing Josiah Bartlett, and Steve Carell never won an award for playing Michael Scott in The Office. That kind of tells you everything you need to know about awards.
So winning a Golden Globe that young, was that a confidence boost, that ticket that opened doors for you for auditions? What did that mean?
I think being in The Outsiders did more than any award would have. I mean, you have to understand, this is Coppola at the height of his powers. The movie had not really come out yet. It was notorious that he went on a search for supposedly the best actors from the age of 13 to 25. So, you know, we all rode that for years. And the Golden Globe, I think, was a nice beginning of critical recognition. But in terms of what was really important for my career, nothing came close to winning the Francis Ford Coppola Best Acting Sweepstakes along with my cast members.
So you've done a lot of drama, West Wing, Brothers and Sisters with Sally Field, Lion's Den, and you've done comedies like Park and Rec and The Grinder. Which do you like doing the best?
I like doing whichever one is going to offer me the best people to be around. In other words, since I'm lucky to be one of the people that can do both and has the opportunity to do both, I will always choose whatever genre has the best people working in it at any given time.
Is there one of the two, comedy and drama, that's harder for you to do?
They're both hard in their own way. I think that comedy definitely is more effortless for me. It feels less like work, and it definitely is more fun. The downside to doing a lot of comedy and the upside to doing the drama is when you come home from doing drama on a daily basis, you really feel like you've accomplished something. And there's that satisfaction in the work that, frankly, in comedy, you don't have because it's just a different gear. It's just more fun and more free and more effortless. So it kind of depends. There's a satisfaction for both, but they feel very different.
So were there any things you learned from doing sitcoms that translate into help you with your one-man show that you're going to be doing this weekend?
For sure. The number one thing is being in the moment, being free, following your instincts. That's the Bible for doing comedy, and I think it is also the Bible for being on stage in this type of a show where it's very free form, and at the end of the day, it's, you know, you're not doing David Mamet, you're not doing Shakespeare, you're not doing Arthur Miller, you're doing something that is about you, from you, by you, so you really got to be yourself.
Rob, this has been great fun. Thanks for your time tonight. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you so much.
That was Rob Lowe, who brings his one-man show, Stories I Only Tell My Friends, to the Aronoff Center this Saturday, June 1st. On our website, wvxu.org, you'll find a link to ticket information. For Around Cincinnati, I'm John Keesman.
Play ball!